Hey guys, it's Tony here from the Footy LG podcast. While Nico's soaking up the sun in his vacation time, Dante has come back to the episode to fill in. How you doing, Dante?
What's going on, Footy LG fans? I'm happy to be here, Tony. Great to be here, man.
I know. We had a very fantastic weekend as Italians this week in the international break as they won both their games. And obviously Canada's TFC came out on top. Let's start off with Italy. What were your first reactions on how they played during their friendly matches in the States?
I thought it was good, man. It's the first time they have been there in 19 years, I believe. And my God, what an appearance! I know Tony, you were there live, that must have been an honor. You know, it's just what an experience, but it's just. So crazy. But I thought they played great. You know, it was a typical Italy wins, 2-1 and 2-0. But you know what? I mean, it is what it is. It's a start to something, right?
Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere there was amazing. I went to the game on Sunday in New York. But I'll be honest with you, and I've been reading it quite a bit online as well, but I do think Italy may be one of the first teams ever to win two games in a row and actually come out worse than they were prior to. And it's nothing against Spalletti or the players, but I just think right now, those two games against Venezuela or against two teams from South America that are playing really well right now, I think both are in position to qualify for the next World Cup in the early stages. But I just think Italy's system, what Spalletti wants to play, he's calling up the right players, but the team is not playing as a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, obviously there's some chemistry gaps, but you know, it's easy to see with the play there. You know, but I think they'll be ready come June. I'm not worried truthfully, but I think they'll be ready come June.
I mean, like the game against the one that I saw against I mean, if they play like that against Spain and Croatia, we're going playing three games and coming home. I mean, yeah, I just think true. Spalletti, I mean, in those games, even though we won, there was very little fluidity. I mean, like you look at a player like, for me, it kills me to say this, but Raspadori, like he just did nothing that whole game when he was on. And that's not what Italy needs right now. And even like Darmian too, like the amount of times Ecuador came through that wing and just made minced meat of Darmian until Di Lorenzo came in was pathetic. So I think they do have a lot of work ahead of them. I know Spalletti has a lot of games prior to the Euros, but they're not in the best waters, even though they came off with two wins.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you, Tony. I know what you're saying. You know, it was a tough watch too. It was. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, there was. You know, we got an early goal in one of the games too, and then we kind of just coasted through the rest of the game. But, you know, from a typical Italian standpoint, you know, like I said, like I'm not worried when for some reason with this team, when nobody's looking at us, so to speak, in the media, or no one's projecting us to win. That's a good sign, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when Italy thrives. And, you know, that's when, you know, we can put our best product forward, even though we arguably have the group of death.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, but we'll see. Should be an interesting round robin. That's for sure.
And so we'll get into that. We'll probably get into that later as we get closer to, as yes, everything was settled. Georgia, Ukraine, and Poland will be joining the rest of the European teams in the tournament. But headed off now back to CONCACAF. It was actually very jam-packed with all of our topics this week. I know Nico doesn't like international soccer, but there was a lot this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And Canada is going to make their Copa America debut this weekend, this year, sorry.
Yep,
after their victory this weekend. It was a 2-0 victory against Trinidad and Tobago. What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, it was nerve-wracking, wasn't it, Tony? I mean, we had to wait till the second half for the team to show up, basically. But, you know, I'm really happy with the bright spots with Schaffelberg and, you know, some of the younger, brighter spots on Canada's roster. you know, but I mean, again, we have a tough group. Argentina is no joke.
Yeah.
They are the World Cup champions, and should be an interesting smash spot for Canada if we can come up with a result in this group stage. But yeah, Chile is no joke either. And I believe Peru
is a tough team to play against. Yeah.
And Peru, we definitely have to come up with minimum a point there. So, you know, are we arguably the underdog in every game? Probably. But, you know, it's a good point for Canada to, it's a stepping stone in the right direction, right? We have the players, and, you know, now it's time to prove themselves, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, for me, like, you hit it really when you went through all three teams. Canada, reality was Saturday, we struggled.
Yeah.
We got the win because of Trinidad not being able to breach our defense. I think Waterman did well. I think Alistair Johnson did well. Even Kamal Miller, they really did well in the back end with Crepeau. But between our midfield and our offense, it was very lackluster. I mean, we had moments where we made chances, but I think you look at, like, for me personally, what bothers me, because it kills me, because you see Alphonso Davies play with Bayern Munich, and he plays in a defensive-minded position. He plays fantastic. He's probably one of the best wingbacks in the world, if not the up there with the top. And then you see the effort he put in against Trinidad, and it was just Trinidad clogged his roots, and that was it. And it's just, when you see that, it's like you can't have your generational talent be that easy to stop. And I think it comes down to his effort as well, because there is moments in that game where he gave up. And it's just, it bothers me, because when he's playing at the top of his game, he's playing good, Canada is doing well.
I agree.
You know, and it was very frustrating to see, because reality, Trinidad's defense should not have done that to him. And that's even right. When it came, even with Jonathan David, I mean, the guy's been on fire with Lille, in a tough division, tough league, in the sense of he's not the most skillful player, and he has to work hard for his goals, and he's putting in the goals. And
yeah, very, he's been clutch with Lille.
You know, it's not, but it's not showing in the national level. And I think if you're gonna have a fighting chance against these teams in Copa America, you need those guys to be on top of the game. And right now, whether it's the way we've set up in the coaching or something like that, it's just not working for me.
Yeah, I agree, Tony. There's, you know, after Herdman left, obviously there's a big shift in the organization, and there's been a lot of problems outside of the game for Canada soccer too, right? Mm-hmm. So who knows what kind of effect that has on the players as well.
That's for sure.
But, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they have to do what they got to do on the field. And, you know, if the quality's not there, and, you know, I mean, obviously the big names are going to be on the map, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it should be interesting come Copa America. But, you know, I don't have big expectations for Canada in that tournament, to be honest with you. But, you know, just because of how the group stages and, you know, the quality of teams that we're going up against. But at the same time, you know, like, you know, if the World Cup, if they learned anything from the World Cup, then they should apply it to here, right?
So. Yeah, and I mean, I think Canada has enough talent on their team that they could surprise, maybe not Argentina, but like a Chile and Peru, I feel like on a good day, Canada could surprise them.
Yeah.
Like they have, the potential's there. I mean, we are a young team, but...
Exactly.
Like, if you're having a tough time, if you can't get through Jamaica and you're having a tough time to score against Trinidad, you're not going to beat these teams.
I agree.
So, I think it needs another, like, and how would you say, like, Mauro Biello, he's not the guy for this job. I don't care what anyone says, whether he won this game or not.
Yeah, I agree.
Think, you know, but, like, you just need someone there, like how Herdman's done in the past, and you need someone to put these guys back on the route. I think that's the only option, but I'm afraid that since now he won, he's probably going to get to take over at the Copa. But I mean, this is a big opportunity for Canada. I mean, if they have a great result, if they can get out of this group, then that puts them in a good position heading into the World Cup.
100%.
I think that's what they need. But we'll see. And also with the Schaffelberg thing, I saw a lot of people say, "Oh, Schaffelberg should have started." I don't agree with that too much. I think Buchanan and Davies are far ahead of him, but the way Schaffberg is playing, he is playing fantastic. I mean, he did change the game when he came in. Both goals were scored after him, but I just don't see him having the same effect when you go up against bigger teams. But at the same time, you got to give credit where credit's due. He did well. He came in, and I mean, he took a fantastic shot that hit the post.
That was a rocket. That was a rock.
And it's funny because my father, we were watching the game, and he was like, why TFC let that guy go for free? So it's like everywhere I go, I hear from Nico, I hear from everybody else. And
I'm disappointed. You can hear from me too, Tony. I still to this day don't understand why they got rid of that guy. But
well, you know what? It was probably better for him. He's been playing fantastic for Nashville.
Yeah.
The good thing is, I, as you know me, I like my conspiracy theories. I like my good omens and stuff like that. Obviously, Alphonso Davies is undefeated when he plays Lionel Messi, which is a nice thing. And then also, supposedly, that first game between Nashville and Miami, I didn't watch it, but Schaffenberg scored two fantastic goals, as I saw. And then Lucas McNaughton supposedly had Messi pretty down locked in that game, so. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't have high hopes. I mean, they didn't.
Are you saying there's a chance, Tony? Canada money line?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, you look at the numbers. It's not looking. He does have a great record against those three.
Remember, Saudi Arabia beat them, man.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia did beat them in the opening game of the tournament. So I mean, I do think Canada, if they can play to their potential, like we see day in and day out, week in, week out, sorry, from our big name players, I think they have. They could make noise. I don't think they could easily lose each game 2-1 or 1-0, but it's going to be a close game each time. You know, right. I don't think we're going to get blown out. If anyone's going to blow us out, it's going to be Argentina more than likely.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll get blown out. I think they have the potential to be out of this group, but they have to put in the work. And reality is, ever since the World Cup, or actually, no, ever since that Gold Cup final where we lost the U.S., that effort hasn't been there, like we saw in the qualifying, where they were just nonstop grinding to get
the hunger. Goals, right? The hunger.
Yeah, it's not there, and that's what worries me. Because, you qualify to a World Cup, but why not try to do some more?
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll see how that goes. I mean, obviously, we have a big friendly against Holland come June 6th, I believe, just prior to the tournament, which would be a nice little touch. Just to jump into a few other little games before we get into the rest of the pod. Brazil, two fantastic results. They beat Spain in the Bernabeu with Endrick scoring his debut goal for Brazil, and then a 2-2 tie with England. Another Endrick goal, which was fantastic. Germany back on top with their wins as they defeated Holland and France. That's one country I don't think anyone wants to see get into rhythm heading into the Euros, especially in Germany, which is actually, speaking of good omens, that's another good omen for Italy, because last time a tournament was hosted in Germany. We all know who won that one.
06,
and maybe. we all know who was playing like shit before that tournament too. So,
it's, 06, you
know,
baby.
We never know.
06, baby. What a year that was.
Actually, you know, funny thing. Last time Italy came to North America was 2005, and that was just before the World Cup. And my dad actually brought me to the game to watch them at the Rogers Center for Serbia Montenegro, and most of the players on that team that played that day ended up being on the World Cup squad that won the tournament following that friendly.
Wow.
Which was a year later. But it was funny. I was just before Germany 06. So it's pretty crazy how 19 years later, I saw Italy in New York ahead of a tournament happening in Germany. So
deja vu, Tony.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that's what is the case. So before we get, I know everyone's excited because TFC is playing fantastic. Before we jump into it, I want to do some of the top news transfers with you, Dante. So started off, we're going to go to the CPL. Forge today began their first ever pro combine, allowing anyone who wants to try out, come and try out. Top news transfers for Forge doing this.
I'm going to go trash bins, Tony.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, okay? Because at the end of the day, you know, and I actually watched the video on this earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
If we want us to develop as a country, okay, we need some sort of professionalism in the leagues and whatnot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, anyone who should be trying out for the highest level in the Canadian Premier League should be going through like a League One Ontario or some sort of high level, the highest level of development in each province. Okay. And in terms of tiers, what I'm referring to, that's like somebody jumping into the Premier League for a tryout. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I think of it. Right. So Canada, the CPL is our top division. It should be unacceptable for somebody to just come off the street and just join a team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're good at League One or something, and you deserve it, absolutely. No question about it. Or York University, or, you know, through the educational system, absolutely. But for anyone off the street, you know, this is a recipe for disaster. Because you're not only that too, you're mixing in higher quality players with lower quality people off the street, right? With you know, different intentions per se. Mm-hmm. Right. And for example, what if one of your good players gets injured you know, during this camp, and you know, and something unravels because of these players, right? That they've never even heard of, right? So, you know, for me, I just think there's some sort of professionalism there involved, because like I said, like in Europe, you know, there's a billion leagues, but at the same time, nobody's going to jump straight to League One, right? They're going to have to go through D2 or D3 or whatever and then work their way up, right? So if Canada wants to perform at the highest level like these other countries, the development system and the proper league structure's got to be in place. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
See, I'm gonna have to go against that. I think it's good because I think there's a lot of chances for players out there that they don't have an opportunity, you know, to go through League One, to have, you know, the chance of playing like recreational or rep soccer. And this is a good opportunity to get your name out there. I mean, what are the chances any of these guys get signed? Probably zero to none. I mean, but I think it's a nice way. It's a good way for Coach Bobby to, like, just find extra players and more than likely be a cheaper option for the team as, you know, reserves. Because, I mean, he's – out of all the CPL teams, he's the one that's developing the players the most and the fastest. I mean,
right?
How many players are going to MLS? I mean, Rubens Macias is in Nashville right now, like – that's a big transfer for someone that he developed through the Forge. So I didn't mind it. I don't think you're going to see any of those players come through and end up playing in the league, but it's a chance to get your name out there and look at it, right? I mean, it's more common with youth that you play, you have the open pro combines, but I don't mind it. I don't mind what Forge did. So I think it's something different, obviously, but we'll see how it goes.
No, I understand. I mean, Tony, the way I think of it is this, right? Like, for example, whatever your position is in your life as a job, this goes for anyone, right? It's like somebody coming in off the street without a license and just coming in and doing the job, right? Now, is there a risk to that? Absolutely. Could the person do a good job? Yes. However, are you going to trust them? I don't know. You know what I mean?
You're gonna have I get what you're saying there.
That's where I'm coming from with all of this, right? So
I get what you're saying there. So well, we'll see what happens. Maybe Coach Bobby finds the Canadian Ronaldo in there. Or something.
Hey, if there's anyone that can develop somebody, it's him, because I've seen with my own eyes through the Sigma development, and I've played with players that have gone through that system. And I'll tell you right now, Kyle Larin's gone through that system. Richie Larea's gone through that system. So if anyone can, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat, so to speak, it's definitely Coach Bobby.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so for the second one, we'll move into MLS. It was announced that San Diego FC, the next MLS franchise, are targeting Guillermo Ochoa, the Mexican goalkeeper, as their number one target for their first DP. Top in trash.
Absolute trash. And I'll tell you why, Tony. Listen, man, the guy is how old, Tony?
He's 40. I think he's almost close to 40, yeah.
He's close to 40, right? And, you know, for me, this is just a marketing stunt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, he's a Mexican icon. And how can we generate X amount of dollars off a Mexican icon, right? Because, you know, we live in an area that includes all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that. You're not going to develop as a league if you're just going to keep going with the old timers narrative.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going anywhere. And you have to compete. You know, like I'm sick and tired of it personally, and being this MLS labeled as a retirement league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can ban anybody 35 and up, I would. You know, I would actually implement that, and you know, it would cause, you know, whatever. I don't care what it would cause, to be honest with you. But the thing is, it's just, you know, if we want MLS to grow and the quality of soccer in the world to take us seriously, we can't be having stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like in the sense of marketing, it's good for that San Diego team, because obviously San Diego's close to Mexico. It would be fantastic to have him as your one of your marquee players. But I feel like the word DP in MLS now, it's not a goaltender like Guillermo Ochoa. You know what I mean?
Correct.
He's a great goalie. He's probably the best Mexican goalie in history. But you look at what he's doing with Salernitana right now. It's not DP level goaltending. No. You know, like it's nothing special.
No.
So to me, it's like if you're gonna bring in a Mexican star to be your big DP to sell the team to the community, you don't need to waste the DP money on him. I think.
No, not even.
I feel
close.
Like there's a lot of other talented players in Liga MX that could easily come down
100%,
and take that money and do well. So I mean, I get it name wise. Yeah, it makes sense. But if you're looking, like, I mean, look at Hugo Lloris, like. He's not having a great time either in LAFC right now. You know, and he's a great goal. He's much better situated than Guillermo Ochoa in his career.
Yeah, exactly.
So I agree. To me, it's trash bins on that one. Yeah. And the final one is a little bit of a funny one. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but lately California police have been using Lego heads to go on top of pictures of criminals doing – obviously criminal acts on camera, and Lego is now banning the California police from using their pictures of Lego in these situations. Top in trash bins.
You know what, Tony, that whole state just drives me up the wall. I just like this whole state of California is just anti whatever the hell you can humanly think of as normal. Mm-hmm. Because it never ceases to amaze me how people even decide to still live in that place. You know, it is a absolute...
It is great weather there, Mike.
Hellhole of a human feces of a place that I have no idea in God's name why people still live there. And to be honest with you, like, there's just a million better places in the U.S. to live than anywhere in California. Like it is just mind boggling. Like between, you know, I'm not a political person, but my God, the interesting amount of people that live there and what goes on there is just mind boggling.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say, to go back on the thing, I'm going to say it's actually trash bins, because I think it was hilarious for them to be using actual Lego heads to cover the guys' faces in the pictures. I don't think it's anything against the Lego. I just think it's hilarious to see pictures of criminals that have the Lego face that sets
unbelievable
the situation. You know, I think it's.
I've seen it all.
I don't know. I don't know why Lego is complaining about it, but
it's good marketing.
Like, I don't know why you want to ban it. I think it's hilarious, right? So, anyway, so that's it for Top and Trash Bins. So we're gonna get into the big thing that's going on right now. TFC is playing fantastic. And I want to start off this segment real quickly. Is that, Nico, I got the score right. I predicted 2-0. You went 3-1. So I've taken the lead in our little pool here. Dante, so I know you're very much like me as Herdman as a skeptic. And I kind of jumped on the board on the boat pretty fast. And I think it's safe to say you're a part of you've joined the Herdman crew here.
Yeah, you can welcome me to that club. I did not expect this start. You know, obviously we got some key injuries now, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But the way I see the locker room, you know, gravitate towards his energy and the quality that I'm seeing in terms of product, but, you know, the hunger that we've been missing for a very long time from this team. It's there. Defensively, unbelievable. Like, I'm in shock to this day how defensively organized we are and not giving up leads and just being so solid coming out the back. You know, and that's what's going to take, Tony. That's what it's going to take. And, you know, if we find that groove defensively and our offense starts clicking and the chemistry starts building, look out.
Yeah, I think defensively, I mean, I think they've settled down. I think Long has been amazing. He's linked up perfectly with O'Neal. And, you know, just
even Gomez as well.
And Gomez too. Like, sad that he got injured, and sad that Larry.
Yeah.
But I mean, Herdman has the guys playing, and you know, I saw one tweet on Twitter, and a guy goes, "Oh, even though Bernadeschi's playing good, I would still get rid of the guy." And I'm like, "Dude, what?" Like, I literally tweeted him back, like, "Go find a new club, because how can you say that when the guy is playing 90 minutes straight every game, out of position and playing his heart?"
Yeah, he's playing his heart out. He's playing his heart out, Bernadeschi. Like, no, I gotta say, he's playing well right now.
There you go. him and Sydney have been fantastic this season. The moments they've had. Yes, okay, the NYCFC game, it was just one bad result. But I mean, compared to what we saw last year to this team, I mean, did you know? I found this shocking. This is only the second time in THC's history we've had 10 points in the first 5 games of the season.
Yeah, I believe it, Tony. I believe it. I mean, after all the years of, you know, we start off 0-5 and heck, 0-10 even at one point. You know, I believe it, because, you know, it's just that's what I'm shocked about the most, that, you know, because usually we give up so many goals to start the season, and now we're settled in. But the fact that we're just so solid defensively right now, and you know who another big factor, who another player I really like, is Flores. This guy, if he continues to play like this, he's going to be the glue of the team.
Yeah,
and he wins every ball, Tony. He's a workhorse. You know, this is exactly the type of players you want on your team, literally. And he's not going to show up on the score sheet. He's not going to show up on the stat sheet. But will he do the dirty work for this team? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have not had players like that last year.
And I know people are going to be like, "Oh, Atlanta United was missing 6 players." Well, we were missing, you know, we were missing Flores that game as well. We didn't have Larea with injury. Gomez was out. We were missing players too.
Yeah.
And still, TFC had such a dominant performance against the Atlanta team, who reality was, Atlanta is not a team that just pushes over either, right?
So, no, not at all.
What are your thoughts on having, MLS still not including TFC in the top 10 power rankings, despite being only a point out of first place?
You know what, Tony? I don't care, to be honest. I want them to do that. Mm-hmm. I want them to disrespect us, because that'll incentivize the team to play even better.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I mean, we've always been disrespected, TFC. Mm-hmm. Even when, you know, we had the glory years with Jovenko and them, and Altidore and et cetera. But, you know, we've always been disrespected. Even in CONCACAF Champions League, I remember back then we were disrespected. You know, and we made it to the finals, and we should have even won that game, but that's a different story. But you know, I encourage it. I hope they keep disrespecting us even more. It should motivate the players, and you know, and hopefully we just keep winning and proving people wrong.
Like, I get that, the motivation part, but I think it's just, it makes MLS and their social media look stupid, that you have a team that's done such a turnaround compared to last year. I mean, what do we have, like 20 points last year?
Yeah.
You know, we already have half those totals in 5 games. Like,
yeah,
doesn't matter how you look at that. Like, there's no reason to have Montreal and Vancouver ahead of us, right?
Yeah. No, exactly.
You know, it's just crazy to see. But, I mean, I'm loving it. And it's looking good. I mean, if they can keep, even, you know, we haven't got solid word yet about Insignia, what's going to happen with him. He obviously left the last game.
Not too long. Please tell me it's not too long.
But I think, I mean, like, you look at our first round draft pick, Tyree Spencer, how he did, Spicer, who did fantastic.
Scored a gorgeous goal.
First start. Great goal. Great play between him and DeAndre Kerr. Even, actually, one of my favorite moments of the game was just the back heels between Insignia and Bernadeschi.
Oh, yeah.
Which, the one almost two. Came to a goal.
And when that was a perfect cross. I don't know how he missed that header.
I know if that went in, it would have been amazing. But I think that's one thing that people, even not just TFC fans, but I think for the league itself, that if Insigne and Bird actually can get to that situation where we see that game in and game out where they just toy with the other team, the league's in trouble.
Yeah, you know,
the league is in trouble because Herdman will build on that. And I think Herdman is a big catalyst as to why that situation happened, because he's freed them from all the negativity of the last 2 years. And I think they've taken responsibility of what happened the last 2 years and showing this season that, hey, we're here for a reason. And it's almost as if I'm kind of not believing what I've seen with this team, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the approach, Tony. Obviously I've been one of the number one critics of John Herdman. And Nico has as well, but I'm on the bandwagon. I'm sold what he can do with players and the way he motivates them and just the energy that he brings. I'm sold.
Yeah, no, I agree. Me too. So heading in now, let's do a little bit of preview heading into the next game. So this Saturday, they are going to be going up against Sporting Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City at the moment is 1-1-3, ninth place in the West. And TFC is slight favorites above Sporting Kansas City.
And we're at home, right?
And we're at home. So you can get 2.5 for TFC. Sporting Kansas City is 2.65. Again, I don't know how these numbers are made. I mean, TFC plus money at home where they are undefeated and doing fantastic things right now is shocking. Sporting KC, I don't know. I haven't followed them too much this year, but their stats don't look the greatest. But I mean, what's your score prediction?
I got 1-0 TFC. Okay. You know, without Insigne, I don't think he's going to play this weekend. But you know, if we can, you know, get that early goal and then, you know, just control the game from there, I think we'll be in good shape. But yeah, I have TFC winning. It's not going to be convincing, because Kansas City is always an interesting team to play against. Mm-hmm. But I have TFC getting 3 points for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna do another 2-0 win. I think Bernadeschi this weekend, if he's out, Bernadeschi's gonna take control offensively, and he's gonna keep it going. He's gonna keep this train going for TFC.
I like it, Tony. I like it.
Yeah, man. I you know what? You got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, when I met Herdman at that open house, I said, hey. I mean, that town hall, I said, hey, you know what? I wasn't your biggest fan, but I'll give you a chance. And the results speak for themselves. I mean, this is our last home game until near the end of April. So we need to get these 3 points because we're on the road.
Yeah, very critical.
We'll see how it goes heading in. But I think that's it. TFC, obviously, making us happy. Italy made us happy. Canada won, and even Ferrari won this weekend. I got to throw that in. I think
we'll do it, baby.
You and I, Dante, this was a fantastic weekend that just happened.
Literally.
Now we get to have the fish dinners on Friday, and that's obviously it. Easter Sunday coming up. So thanks again for coming in, Dante. And
my pleasure. Buona Pasqua, everyone.
Happy Easter, everybody. We'll see you guys on the next pod.
Take care.